Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 18th of November, and I'm recording at 9:58 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Now, what happened on this interesting day? Well, they're all interesting, aren't they? This is such a fascinating subject. But starting off with stock markets here today, Japan had a nice bounce back. It gained over 2%. Of course, it fell on Monday by over 3%. But there was good news, positive news here overall today. And I think we knew some of this, at least some of this yesterday, but I'll quickly run through it again. Shinzo Abe is going to resign early, a year early, to have another election, which everybody's saying he will win. Well, I certainly hope so. His justification for doing that, which hopefully doesn't irritate the electorate, is that he has decided to pass on the sales tax increase, which was supposed to come, was it last month? And if he and I certainly think he needs to do that, and clearly there was some opposition within the party about doing that. So hopefully he gets reelected with a workable majority and can go on and pursue the quantitative easing and postpone the tax increases. He's talking about that tax increase occurring next October. But get the economy up and running before you start to do that. I think the mistakes that governments have too frequently made, and not least the Japanese government, following serious economic slumps, has been to raise taxes because they get worried about the debt. Well, the debt will get even bigger if you don't get some economic recovery. Okay, enough said on all that. Hang Seng Index down 1.13%. Shanghai Composite Index down 0.71%. So a little bit of a pullback going on here generally. And the Taiwan Index, again, down again. So is the HS China Enterprise Index, 1.25% nearly. South Korea bounced, though, up 1.2%. India virtually unchanged. Australia has been giving up a little bit of ground in the last couple of weeks, having had a very persistent rally back up towards the higher end of its broad range. The so-called, or formerly called, Little Tigers are all a bit firmer in here today. So mixed activity, and no big drama, although Japan's news was probably the most positive there. European stock markets are doing well on the belief that Mario Draghi will be doing various QE-type purchases here to help mitigate the weak and deflationary decline that we're actually seeing. So a number of gains. In Germany, one of the best, if not the best, up 1.6%, and the Euro Stoxx 50 up 1.16%. UK up 0.5%, just over 0.5%. So all the European indices are higher in here today. And it was also a pretty decent day in the Americas. Now, Wall Street gave up some gains towards the close, but nearly a quarter of a percent higher on the Dow, 0.5% higher on the S&P. It's taken the S&P up to 2051 and change. NASDAQ up a little better still. So good performance here, up near the highs and still somewhat overbought in the short term. But the mood's positive, and it's got that post-midterm election period, which is historically bullish, not least when you've got the Republican Party chasing for the White House as well. And Brazil, which has been soft recently, but up 1.5% in here today. Okay, what else has gone on? Well, the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield has just dipped a little bit, 2.315, 2.315 is down just a little bit from yesterday. Oil was interesting. Oil was firmer here this morning, but then gave up ground. So the UK WTI contract is currently trading at $74.22. And earlier today, though, say this morning UK time, it was at 76.44, so over $2 higher. And the Brent is currently at 78.40, so that's down. And its high this morning was 79.95. So oil's still under pressure here right now. Now, we do have that OPEC meeting coming up, and I think that's next Wednesday. It'll be interesting. I have no idea what the actual outcome will be, but there'll be lots of differences of opinion actually expressed. But the basic fundamental factor here is that OPEC has lost control. And they used to be able to, the Saudis in particular, used to be able to move the market at will. But those days are gone, I believe. Now, they could cut supplies and agree on some sort of supply cuts. That would be the most positive thing in terms of the oil price, if you want the oil price to go higher. My feeling is that we will see oil prices move somewhat higher in probably the next few weeks, but I think it would be a challenge to get the market up above the $90 level for long. And the really good news here is that lower oil prices are a terrific bonus for most of the country, all the countries that import oil. And the countries that have virtually no oil, India, Japan, it's a huge boost for them. And it's a good boost for global GDP growth generally, with clearly only the oil producers, major oil producers, major oil exporters, I should say, really suffering. And none is suffering from this more than more than Russia, and hopefully we don't get some sort of dramatic militaristic move on the part of Putin, which unfortunately would be in character, and that would be an effort perhaps to get the oil price somewhat higher. Hopefully we don't see that. I think as far as the long term is concerned, we are unlikely to see that high that we saw right in 2000 and in 2008, 2007 and 2008. It got up to $143, and I think that that's going to be the all-time high for oil prices in real terms. So in other words, if we get back up above those levels, I think it'll be due to loss of dollar purchasing power rather than any kind of change of outlook, fundamental change of outlook in terms of oil prices. Going forward, and this makes me optimistic, it was one of my key planks. Going forward, I think we are far more likely to see energy prices generally move somewhat lower rather than a whole lot higher. The exceptions on that are the countries that are weighed down here with expensive subsidized renewable forms of energy, and they're going to be in a cost bind, and that includes Europe, the UK, for a number of years. But those that are producing some oil themselves, let alone natural gas, that are moving intelligently with solar power rather than relying on wind power, which is less efficient and far more costly. Also those countries that are considering new nuclear are definitely likely to see lower energy costs in real terms going forward, and that will be reflected by the perf in the performances of their economies. Okay, what else is going on here today? Well, the U.S. dollar index slipped back a bit. It's at 87.57, so it's still backing away from that 88 resistance just above the 88 level from those previous highs that I've mentioned to you from 2007 to 2011, when the Fed had intervened to push the U.S. energy price back down. So that's an area of understandable psychological resistance. I don't think the Fed is involved here just yet. What that meant for some of the individual commodities, well, if I pick up sterling, it's virtually unchanged here, 1.5632. The Australian dollar, actually, the Australian dollar is slightly firmer, 0.8720, a tiny bit higher. So the euro must be, well, the euro is a. Yeah, they're all higher in here. And that's logical. The dollar index is down. So the euro is up to 1.2534. Sorry about that. Now, precious metals. A little bit another spark in here today. Well, I believe so. Of least interest is palladium, although it looks basey in this current range here, but it's up nearly $5. It's 773.5. Silver's been kind of all over the pitch. That's nothing unusual. Got up this morning to $16.40, then came right back down to 15.97, and is currently at 16.17. That's up nearly 11.5 cents. And platinum quieter, a little firmer, up $4.5 at 1205.70. And gold bullion doing the best in here right now. Again, it's had a significant, well, no, it's been sort of a $10 range, but it's currently at $1,197 and change. So, you get an upward dynamic from here, and that's going to look like a downside failure from gold's previous trading range. Overall, steady-ish action here, and these prices are low enough, oversold enough for a rally to actually occur, and also to attract a little more investment demand for those metals. And last but not least, the grain and bean complex. Prices are a little bit easier here, and I think that includes corn. And corn, the U.S. corn crop is going to be very, very good. I mean, most of these grain crops in the West are going to be really quite good, and that's very good news, helping to keep overall costs, food costs, somewhat lower. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.